Now, get ready for the hottest talk show of the year, Crime Time Live, with your host, renowned attorney Scott Weinberg. Brought to you live by Clear Channel Radio and syndicated nationally on TalkZone.com. Discuss all the sizzling hot cases making headline news today and how you can protect your rights. And now, here's your host, Scott Weinberg.
Good morning, back America. Beautiful day out here today. Hey, can you face jail time from peeking at your wife's email? Should people be prosecuted? Should they be prosecuted if they snoop the private emails or files we keep, even if we share the same computer? We'll get to that question in the second half of the hour when we talk with the attorney for the husband who was charged with hacking in peeking into his wife's email. If that doesn't send a shudder down all of our spouse's spine, I don't know what will. Hey, Monty Hall, do you have a kidney or any other organ you want to give away? Do you have a loved one in prison? Well, the state of Mississippi is saying, let's make a deal. That's right. We're going to hear about the two sisters. Listen to this. The two sisters who made a deal to get out of prison if one gives the other one her kidney, hopefully behind door number three. We're going to get to that this half hour. Moms, protect your babies. You better protect them, because an actress posing as a casting call director allegedly tries to snatch the baby. Listen to this. The baby from the mother, who was all too willing to give her kid up for the 15 minutes of fame. We'll talk about how you should be a little more inquisitive, my friends, when someone wants to take your kids, even if it's at a casting call. Plus, more legal news, my views, and callers' questions here on Crime Time Live. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Identify yourself, please.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit.
Sergeant Matthew Kyle was on his second tour in Iraq when injured.
I was shot in the neck by an Iraqi sniper on combat patrols.
As a quadriplegic, Sergeant Kyle will require specialized medical care and benefits for the rest of his life. That's where Paralyzed Veterans of America can help. National Service Officer Bobby Hager explains.
A National Service Officer exists solely to help veterans get their benefits. We're able to fill out all of the forms and applications and ask for all of the benefits that that veteran's entitled to.
Matthew's wife, Tracy Kyle.
We don't have the knowledge to go through this by ourselves. And these benefits are going to take you through the rest of your life.
If you don't ask for a benefit, the VA can't give it to you. The veteran doesn't know what to ask for.
We could not have done this journey without the Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Paralyzed Veterans is an independent, not-for-profit organization founded by vets for vets.
To help, visit pva.org.
He would come home after a hard day and just start in on me, you know, like, hey, how's your day? How was school? What you got going on? I mean, it gave me the chills.
My father would drive me all the way to the mall. He wouldn't stop until we were right in front of my friends. And oh my God, when...
I wanted to go to Europe, and he seriously made me get a job to pay for it. And that one time,
he insisted on taking us to the movies, even though he knew Steven totally worked there and I was totally in love with him. And
the time I got this wicked, cool scorpion tattoo on my shoulder, not even the whole arm, just the shoulder, and he grounded me for 2 weeks. 2 weeks! And oh yeah.
When I wanted to major in ceramics, because I'm like way good at it, my dad told me I'd have to pay my own tuition. Like, duh. How am I supposed to earn that kind of dough making pottery?
Embarrass them. Horrify them. Freak them out. Don't worry. They'll appreciate it. Eventually. A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council. Have you been a dad today? For more information, Visit fatherhood.org.
Have you or a loved one been arrested or charged with a crime? Do you want to stay out of jail and keep your record clean? Hi, I'm attorney Scott Weinberg, host of Crime Time Live, heard Saturday mornings 11 to 12 noon on 1310 WDTW. Call my office anytime to protect your rights at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 or go to our website at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1.com. We have payment plans for everyone's budget. There should never be a price on protecting your rights. Call 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 right now.
Sergeant Matthew Kyle was on his second tour in Iraq when injured.
I was shot in the neck by an Iraqi sniper on combat patrols.
As a quadriplegic, Sergeant Kyle will require specialized medical care and benefits for the rest of his life. That's where Paralyzed Veterans of America can help. National Service Officer Bobby Hager explains.
A National Service Officer exists solely to help veterans get their benefits. We're able to fill out all of the forms and applications and ask for all of the benefits that veteran's entitled to.
Matthew's wife, Tracy Kyle.
We don't have the knowledge to go through this by ourselves. And these benefits are going to take you through the rest of your life.
If you don't ask for a benefit, the VA can't give it to you. The veteran doesn't know what to ask for.
We could not have done this journey without the Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Paralyzed Veterans is an independent, not-for-profit organization founded by vets for vets.
To help, visit pva.org.
The following letters were written by our troops.
My dear fellow Americans, I truly appreciate your support. I was starting to wonder if people had forgotten about us over here, but then one of my buddies showed me this website, and now as tears are streaming down my face, I can see for sure that you haven't. Private Emily B., U.S. Army.
It's so heartwarming to see the American people not letting the men and women of the armed forces be forgotten. Your letters make a group of grown men, battle-hardened and gruff, act like a bunch of kids around a Christmas tree. Thanks. Staff Sergeant Matthew H., U.S. Army.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the show. After 16 years... 16 years in Mississippi. Behind bars, these two sisters were released Friday on a condition that one donate a kidney to the other. Did you read about this? Governor Haley Barbour suspended the sentences of Gladys Scott, 36, and Jamie Scott, 38, who were serving life sentences for armed robbery. Gladys agreed to donate her kidney to her sister. Yeah, she agreed because that was the condition. She agreed to donate her sister kidney to her sister, who accordingly to their lawyer was gravely ill. Although I tell you, I saw her on TV. She didn't look so gravely ill to me. I haven't woke up and it's still a dream, she says. It's been a long road, but we made it. The freed sisters spoke to reporters in Mississippi at a celebration. Cheers erupted. Eyes swelled because they were so emotional. But do you know why these two sisters were put behind bars? You judge whether or not this is right that they should have let them go. They were convicted many years ago for armed robbery. That's right, armed robbery. However, they were convicted with two other people who didn't get the life sentences. But they now wanted this kind of pardon. The sisters agreed to see their families. They're 22, so they have grandkids, so they obviously were pregnant when they went to prison, at least one of them was. They said they don't have a mother. They didn't have a grandmother. Where has she been? Well, she's been in prison. That's where she's been. Do you think that she should be let go? You call me at 248-848-1310. Can you tell me, is that a good enough reason? Is that a good enough reason to get out of prison because your sister needs the kidney? Although they'd be eligible for parole in a couple of years, the Department of Correction believed the sisters no longer pose a threat to society. Let me tell you something. I've been doing this for 20 years. I know so many people in prison that don't pose They don't pose a threat to society anymore. They went on some little marijuana charge or some kind of small drug charge, but they're doing lots of time, either because they didn't have a decent lawyer or because they got caught up in the system. But they don't pose a threat anymore. But they're not letting him out. They got to go find Monty Hall, and they got to see if they got some organ, some kidney that they can give up. Jamie's kidney dialysis creates a substantial cost to the state. So that's one of the other reasons why, right? They're trying to say, hey, we want to cut down healthcare costs for these prisoners, and that was going to create probably hundreds of thousands of dollars of expenses because she has this kidney problem in prison. So they wanted to let her out so they also forego the cost of the healthcare. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that is a reason. You get someone really sick, you get a substantial cost that's going to be incurred by the state. So let them out of prison and say that they're not a threat. Do you agree with me or disagree?
Disagree wholeheartedly.
248-848-1310. What do you want, Mr. John? Do you think they should let them out or not?
No, I don't think they should let them. Not for that. Now, if it had been donating a kidney to someone not their family member, I might have considered it, or I might have considered release with an electronic tether. But not the way this is.
Well, what does it matter if it's a family member? There's family members. I mean, those are the ones that are going to be more likely. Yeah, but they're going to be more likely to be matches, too. And you know what? Here's in this story. They don't even know if the sister's a match. They don't even know if she's a match. And they still let her out. They still let her go.
I wonder what the victims say.
Well, you know, that's another thing. There was an armed robbery. I wonder if they actually interviewed these victims for it. You call me at 248-848-1310. We'll get to your questions and concerns on this, because I tell you right now, there is absolutely no way that simply because you've got some medical need that they're letting people across this country out of the penal system to avoid the medical costs. They just don't do it. They don't let them out. I don't know what happened in Mississippi. The question is, should they let them out? Should they let them out if there's some kind of medical costs on it? Demetrius, what do you think? Should we let them out of prison?
In the bigger scheme of things, does it really matter when we stack up the entire system itself? We have this system that, for instance, rapper DMX. Here's a guy, because he has money, that he's out. He's in jail again, but he'll be out again, of course, because he has money. And we've got this system that's just, I mean, I guess it's the best system in the world, but at the same time, there's so many flaws, and this is just one more flaw that, where do we fix it? Where do we start?
Well, what are we fixing? Are we fixing whether or not they should let her out, or whether or not our state has to pay for the medical cost of our prisoners? Because that's the big cost.
Oh, no, I agree And I think that, again, is a huge flaw, where we are basically dumping them because of a money reason. And, hey, it's like, let's just dump them out on the society and let them pay for it.
Well, there is no question about it. Thanks for your call, Demetrius. There's no question that our state incurs, millions and millions of dollars once we incarcerate them. That has nothing to do with the healthcare costs. I mean, it costs so much money to house a prisoner, and we put people in prison for, I'm telling you, the smallest things at the whim of not necessarily the prosecutor. It is the whim of a judge who has that discretion. Donald, do you think we should be letting them out of the prisons if they have these large healthcare costs? Donald, what do you got to say about that?
I'm riding along, and I'm listening to you guys talk about this case. What gets me is I heard this story the other day. Heard somebody talking about it.
It's national news. It's national news that they're doing this.
Yeah, it was national news. And from what I'm understanding, that the robbery that they committed was like for $11 or something like that.
Yeah, some minor amount.
It was a minor event, and they got life sentences for it.
Yeah,
think that 16 years is long enough to serve for some type of minor event? Wasn't nobody hurt?
Yeah, but you know what, Donald? That's not the issue. because that means they shouldn't have gone in the first place. Exactly. See, the issue is the issue is it is discretionary many times with judges. Now, you can have an armed robbery in Michigan, let's say, and there might be mandatory time that you have to serve on it, and the judge doesn't have discretion to go under it. Maybe that's what happened in Mississippi, and they had to go to prison because they are convicted of an armed robbery, and that's why people plea. You know, I mean, if they knew that they did it, and they were involved in an armed robbery case, and if they're convicted, they're going to get a minimum time, whether they did something serious or not, but because it's under that statute of armed robbery, then you know what? Then they got to work out a plea, because that's why 95% of cases plea, because people don't want to take the risk of going to prison, just like these sisters.
Well,
do you know what
exactly,
I mean?
But you can, you also can look at it from the point that that was a cruel and unusual punishment to sentence those girls to life in prison.
But that's not why, Donald. That's not why they were released, though. They weren't released because it was cruel.
One of the sisters is donating a kidney to.
Right.
I don't know who it is.
To the other one.
Her sister, she was donating the kidney to.
Exactly. And is that what we should do? Should we relieve the cost of that dialysis? Because that's what they're saying. They're not saying we want to let her go because the crime was minor. That's a different story, Donald.
Right.
What they're saying is that they want to release her because she has a medical need and they don't want to bear the cost of the dialysis. That's the question here. There's no way that we should be able to go individually and say, this person's going to be expensive to take care of. Let's let him go. You call me at 248-848-1310. Paul, what do you think? Should we have let them out of prison? Should we let people that have these health care costs out of prison because of the cost of their care?
Hi, good morning. I think another piece of the story is also that the governor of Mississippi, Haley Barbour, was seeking political coverage. It's a subterfuge, this whole kidney thing and the cost thing. He just wants to be able to advance that argument should he want to go forward with the Republican primary for president. I do think that the minor nature of the crime did factor into his decision and that he just gave that excuse. But I think that the issue is brought to the table and it needs to be, because there are many communities where they are represented by Republican legislatures who want to increase the numbers, and they believe that it brings jobs to their neighborhoods and to their communities to have prisons and to have prisons full of people who are disenfranchised and don't vote, but do count when it comes to the census numbers. And so they do count for political numbers, and that increases the numbers of those communities that would be smaller. And those people all too often are coming from communities represented by Democratic representatives, communities of color. They're being arrested in numbers larger than they should be.
Well, that is true. I mean, you look at statistics all over this country. Forget about just Michigan. All over the country, the African-American minorities go to prison more than whites. It is a statistic that you show me numbers and I will talk to you about it. You call it 248-848-1310. And after the break, we're going to talk about how people actually are treated in prison. Are there any kind of rules that violate our personal rights when we're in prison? And should we have these prisoners protected from the own security guards? We'll get to that right after the break. This is Crime Time Live. You stay tuned.
Passing gas. Is there a right time and a wrong time to do it?
Come on, huh? I'm trying to eat.
When indoors in the company of others, passing gas is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Oh, you're killing us over here.
Every year, hundreds of infants exposed to passed gas die.
What? I cracked a window?
And just opening a window isn't enough. These deadly fumes can linger in the room for hours after odors have dissipated.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
Have you or a loved one been arrested or charged with a crime? Do you want to stay out of jail and keep your record clean? Hi, I'm attorney Scott Weinberg, host of Crime Time Live, heard Saturday mornings 11 to 12 noon on 1310 WDTW. Call my office anytime to protect your rights at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 or go to our website at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1.com. We have payment plans for everyone's budget. There should never be a price on protecting your rights. Call 1-800-NO-JAIL and the number one right now.
The following letter was written by Technical Sergeant Jerry G., U.S. Air Force.
I've just finished reading over some of the correspondence you've sent us over here. And for an old dog like me, I was choked up. Thanks to each and every one of you. You're the reason why I have proudly put on the uniform of the American forces, to serve folks like you. Those we all love and honor. And those who do not have what we have, but who are willing to stand next to us and fight for their own freedom as well. So the next time you see one of my brothers or sisters in arms, shake their hands or pat them on the back. Tell them you support them. This is what we cherish more than anything.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking about, should you give up your... should you be able to give up your organs to get out of prison? Should you be able to give up the right to keep your organs if you don't want to get out? You call me at 248-848-1310 because there's a crazy case going on in Mississippi. And we had one caller that said basically it's all political. You know what? And I don't know that he's not telling the truth. Suzanne, what do you think? Should we be able to do that?
I agree with the former caller. This has nothing to do with organs in people in prison. This is all to do with Haley Barbour trying to bait and switch the public's attention from what went on in Mississippi about the White Citizens Council. And it is now dominating the news, and that story is now on the back burner.
Well, that is true. I mean, these politicians can manipulate any way they want, don't they?
Oh,
they'll create a smokescreen.
Because what the man said, he is contemplating running for president, and I had listened to Tom Hartman this week, and they were talking about this. And it's because he turned them down back in September. The people who were appealing for the two sisters turned them down flat out.
Why did they turn them down? What was that? They turned them down.
Yeah, and turned them down. They went to the restaurant. Those people have been fighting for those two women for years, and it's what you said. They don't even know if the sisters are match.
Right. That's what they still have to do. They still even have to find out, even if it's going to work.
Yeah, I mean... okay, and I don't know about the organ whole thing, but the one thing is that what Bill Cosby has said, it takes over $40,000 a year to house a prisoner and $7,000 to educate a child.
Well, now that is ridiculous it costs more, isn't it?
And I agree with you. Oh, I mean, I can go on and on about, you know, the ridiculous Well, most everything you're saying today, I agree with you. It's a way of disenfranchising people, and supporting private prisons.
Well, listen, let me tell you, they had four private prisons for many years. They still have some, but they can house them cheaper. The problem is you still get the lack of government control. Listen, I'm not saying that people don't have to go to prison. You know,
no,
I'm a criminal
defense attorney.
There's people that have to go to prison. But it is in the discretion. You know, we had one caller who talked about the fact that, hey, this was a minor armed robbery. You know what, then? There are minor armed robberies all over the country that people don't end up going to prison either because they don't get convicted or they plead to something else, or that statute is different in every state. Well, in Mississippi, also, there must be a mandatory time.
What kind of lawyer you had and what kind of money your lawyer, what kind of money you have to buy a lawyer?
Well, that's true that, you know, you can have good lawyers and you can have lawyers that don't care. And obviously, we represented thousands of people over the course of our careers that we can try to help people out. But you know what? In the end, it's up to the judge if you get convicted. You got to stop getting convicted of crimes that you don't think that there's mandatory time for. Let me tell you, you go to trial. Here's the way it works. You go to trial on a case that's a mandatory time, a life in prison or a significant amount of time. You better look at some alternatives, my friend, because you get convicted. I don't care how good your lawyer is. You get convicted. That judge is going to put you away. They're going to put you away. Listen, I'm not saying you should plea on every case. I'm saying you got to look at the risk-benefit analysis. People don't like hearing that. Lawyers don't like to talk about that. Lawyers will say, oh, we're going to try this case. You know what? They're not the one going to prison. Let me tell you something. You got to look at all the alternatives, every alternative on a case, and then you decide if you're going to go to prison. That's the way you, I mean, if you're going to go to trial. That's the way you do it. Because other than that, your lawyer is being irresponsible if you don't look at all the alternatives. They got to talk out of both sides of their mouth. They got to work a case that says, okay, we're going to prep this case as if it's going to go to trial. We're going to get all the evidence, all the witnesses. We're going to prepare it. And on the other end of the case, and they're under the other mouth, they got to say, okay, what are some alternatives just in case we don't want to? Just in case our client doesn't want to take the risk of going to prison for 14 years in her life and we can be able to mitigate it in some way. And I'm not saying you should plea. I'm saying you have to look at that. You 248-848-1310 and disagree, you call me and I tell you, I will give you 20 years of experience that'll tell you that if you don't prepare for both the possibility of some kind of workout and the possibility of a trial all at the same time, you don't have a lawyer that's doing their job. After the break, we're going to get to this crazy case that came out of Michigan about getting into your wife's email. That's right, your wife's email. Can we actually spy on our spouses? Can we get into these emails without it being spying and without being prosecuted by the prosecutor's office for hacking, for harassment? We're going to get to that when we get out of the break. 248-848-1310. This is Crime Time Live. Stay tuned.
My family found out I was on drugs. They were just terrified.
Everyone that loves her was devastated.
I mean, it got to the point where my mom couldn't even sleep if I wasn't home.
My parents almost got a divorce because of my drug use.
They were constantly bailing me out of trouble and paying off drug dealers and pawn shops and lawyers and hospital bills.
I don't think I'd ever cried as much in my entire life.
There was no time that she didn't worry about what was going on with me, and you could see it on her face.
He did not know how to take control of his life. The drugs had done it.
It was the closest thing to walking death I can imagine.
And I remember my mother saying to me one day, "You're going to die if you don't get help." I wanted to have my life back and my family back. And that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.stopaddiction.com.
Have you or a loved one been arrested or charged with a crime? Do you want to stay out of jail and keep your record clean? Hi, I'm attorney Scott Weinberg, host of Crime Time Live, heard Saturday mornings 11 to 12 noon on 1310 WDTW. Call my office anytime to protect your rights at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 or go to our website at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1.com. We have payment plans for everyone's budget. There should never be a price on protecting your rights. Call 1-800-NO-JAIL-1. Right,
Mommy,
now.
Sing me to sleep.
Sure, sweetie. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. You're a ball of gas that's very far. 32 light years in the sky, 10 parsecs, which is really high, helium, carbon, and
hydrogen
fuse to make our starry friend. When it enters supernova stage, it explodes with bursts of rays. And if the star's mass is big and bold, it will become a big black hole.
And if the star's mass is big and bold, it will become a big black hole.
Thanks, Mom.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, so it's up to parents to help create a brighter future for them. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Welcome back to the show. Could someone face prison time for snooping through a spouse's email? Have you all read about this story? Snooping through a spouse's email could land you in prison. Oh, it's crazy. Leon Walker of Michigan. That's who's charged. And the answer is yes. The prosecutor's office is going forward with charges. As crazy as that sounds, suspecting that his wife was involved with another man, ABC News is reporting that he was worried it was affecting their daughter. So he logged into his wife's Gmail account. And what happened? It landed him being charged. Said it was easy for him to log in because his wife kept the password next to the computer. Now, that's not what the prosecutors are saying. Prosecutors are saying something different. He felt it was okay. He felt reading her email at home. I mean, how many of us don't feel it's okay to be looking at our kids or our wife's email? Who even thinks about that? And while he felt it was okay, Oakland County Prosecutor's Office, they didn't like it. They did not feel that it was amusing. They felt that it was a misuse of the computer. If convicted, listen to this. He could face up to 5 years in prison. It's Michigan's first criminal prosecution for snooping through a spouse's email. And it's a statute that, I'm telling you, has nothing to do with emails. Nothing to do it. Anthony, what do you got to say about that? Do you think you should be able to do that, sneak through your wife's email?
I have another question, but I don't think they should be able to charge him. I don't know. You know, that's sounding extreme, you know, with that case there, the email case. But can I ask another question?
Sure, you can get to anything you want.
Okay, this what I think, but hopefully it's the criminal charges that can be prosecuted where someone forged a person's name trying to obtain some money from her annuity as a buyout from a structured subtle payment.
Well, what was the forgery? Who forged whose name? Don't use names. Just tell me what was the situation.
The daughter actually signs her mother's name and didn't really sign it as a good job. Just kind of scribbled her name on something.
So the daughter didn't have authority to sign her mom's name. Is that right?
No, and had it notarized, and the mother was incapacitated at the time.
All right, what do you mean? Wait, hold on 1 second. So what do you mean they had it notarized? So the notary, someone who's bonded with the state of Michigan, notarized that it was the mother's signature?
And the mother wasn't even present because she was bedridden. Yeah, that's right.
Well, that could definitely be obviously some type of fraudulent behavior on notary, too. I mean, you have to sign in front of that notary. That's why they're bonded. How did the notary attest to the fact that the mom signed it?
Right. We haven't even got to that. I just want to know, can we take that to the authorities?
Well, the answer is, if you get an individual who signed someone else's name and they have permission, that's usually okay. However, a notary is a bonded person. It's not hard to become a notary, but you still have to be bonded. You got to get permission. You got to get filed with the court in any circuit court you live in, the county, and they they sign and stamp whether or not that is the person who's signing.
Now, well, if you get, go after her too. Yes.
Well, that is something that you, that the answer is yes. If there's a notary that's signing that isn't standing in front of the person who's actually, he's basically saying that that is the person signing for them, then not only can those people get in trouble, they can lose their bonding. And the forgery is clearly something that can go to the prosecutor's office and they can charge. Let me tell you, prosecutor's offices charge. They charge anything possible. They don't have to have lots of reasons to charge. They can charge simply because they feel it's in violation of statute when all they might have is an allegation. You know, it gets back to what we were talking about with the emails of Mr. Walker. He was looking at the emails of his wife. He was trying to do what he felt, it sounds like, was legal. And here's the prosecutor's office come in and saying, that is a misuse of someone else's private files. It is a misuse of that computer. And we have on the line, we have Mr. Walker's attorney, the famous Leon Weiss. How you doing, Leon?
Good morning, Scott. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Doing fine.
This is a crazy case. What is the story? How could the prosecutor's office believe that this statute that was for hacking had anything to do with looking at this person's email?
Scott, I wish I had a really good answer, but you would have to get the prosecutor herself or whichever assistant prosecutor authorized the warrant to answer that question. I still do not know what was behind the filing. All I know is this, that the statute, as you correctly stated, was designed and then amended to prosecute people who did some serious hacking. And hacking is a term that is sort of a slang idiomatic term, but it really involves some technical computer skill and knowledge to get into a government computer, a bank computer, credit card company, educational institution for the purpose of misappropriating in an unauthorized fashion that data. It has never, ever been contemplated nor used for people living under the same roof, sharing a computer, married or not, looking at one another's email without permission. And, you know, the heavy-handed misuse of this statute to prosecute my client for looking at his then-wife's email while they were married, same roof. My client had bought the computer, set up her email account for her. Has been very troubling to me as a lawyer and as a person. I mean, certainly the attention that it's gotten gives you some idea of, you know, the fact that it's a hot button issue, but I would rather not have the attention.
In this case,
I would rather that my man, who's been financially, emotionally, you know, almost destroyed as a result of this prosecution, I would rather he didn't have to withstand that.
Now, do you think one of the reasons why the prosecutor's office is thinking that he hacked in is because he's a computer technician? I mean, if he was a dentist, if he was anybody who wasn't involved in that profession, do you think they'd still be prosecuting him?
You know what? Again, you would have to ask them. I could tell you this, that the prosecutor herself has avoided doing interviews, but she's made statements. And she always refers to the fact that my client is an IT or computer expert, and my client hacked in to his wife's account. Those are her exact words, Ms. Cooper. And certainly that's totally wrong. There was no hacking. He had known her password for what she gave it to him. She kept the password in a little address book next to the computer. We have copies of the pages of that address book. And there was no hacking involved. So he didn't need any of his IT skills. He could have been a plumber looking at his wife's email, and it would have been quite easy to access it.
To be
so
fair,
I just can't tell you, Scott. It's been a very troubling case. I've lost sleep over this one.
To be fair, we did try to contact the prosecutor's office and gave them an opportunity to come on today and be able to discuss it, and they so far have declined, but hopefully we'll be able to get them on. We're talking about Leon Weiss, the well-known attorney here in the Detroit area, representing Mr. Walker, who's charged with obviously snooping into his wife's email. You know that, Leon, one of the things that really bothers me about this case is there really isn't good prosecution around the, forget about even just the state, around the country, but that will be consistent on letting us know when it's okay to be able to use our social networking on the computer. I mean, it's still our laws have not kept up with technology. And that's really the problem with using the statute for this.
You've hit the nail on the head. I mean, the changes that have come with the Internet and the various ways that we communicate brings quite a few advantages, but also a lot of problems in terms of privacy and individual rights. And you're absolutely right. The laws, both municipal, state, federal, have really not caught up, and they're going to have to use some well-reasoned thought processes to come up with statutes that apply. But I'm going to bet you that it's extremely unlikely that any governmental agency will pass a law, ordinance, or statute that gets into people that live under the same roof, be they roommates, family members, husbands and wives, significant others, life partners, whatever it may be, when they have these privacy lines that they may draw in the relationship. As, don't look at my email, don't look at my Facebook page if I'm not around.
Yeah, look at, what about your kids? I mean, we all want to see what's going on with their social networking, their Facebook pages and their messages. What do we do with our, 14-year-old kid?
Yeah, well, they are, presumably the computer's owned by their parents. And but still, you're absolutely right. Right now, the way the prosecutor in Oakland County is approaching this thing, you could be prosecuted for looking at your kid's Facebook. And I don't believe that any law is going to be passed by any governmental entity that gets into that area, because it opens the floodgates. People look at each other's emails all the time, husbands and wives, and it should be between them. That's not hacking, and I don't think the government needs to intrude into that area. The government is prevalent enough in our lives without that type of intrusion. And here's a good part of this case, Scott, that I'm hopeful may resolve it, and that is this Representative McMillan from Rochester, Auburn Hills, Michigan State Representative, who's come out and said that this law with its amendments was never, ever, ever designed to prosecute people for looking at their spouse's emails or anything of that nature. And he said, apparently, there's only one prosecutor in the entire state of Michigan who doesn't get that, and that's Ms. Cooper. And I don't understand why she's wasting time on this when there's serious crimes to be investigated and prosecuted. And he said, if I have to pass an amendment to the statute to educate that prosecutor, I'm going to do it. An amendment which says that this statute specifically does not apply to spouses looking at one another's emails or parents checking up on their kids' emails or social networking sites. And I think that he's going to try to get that through. Now, if he gets that through, he'll make it retroactive because there's only one person that's ever been affected in this manner by that statute. And then the prosecutor will have no choice but to dismiss. I'd rather she do it on her own. That would show, to me, great integrity and a quest for justice.
Well, listen, I used to be a prosecutor. When people would present cases, I would always try to look at it. But let's face it, many prosecutors are there to be able to, what they feel, do justice, whether, quite frankly, it is justice or not. So we'll keep eye on that. Hey, Leon, thanks for coming on the show and keep protecting our rights out there.
Well, you do the same day in and day out, brother. You're one of the best lawyers in town, and you're also very smooth and informative on the radio. It's an honor to be on your show anytime.
You take care.
All right, Scott. Thanks.
Bye-bye. I tell you, after break, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about this a little more because that is just out. It drives me out of my mind when they try to take our own personal liberties simply because it's a prosecutor, whether it's this prosecutor or any prosecutor, who makes the decision on their own to feel that we violated the law. It drives me out of my mind. You call me at 248-848-1310. We'll get to your calls again. You stay on the line. Come back 1 minute. Crime Time Live.
Sergeant Matthew Kyle was on his second tour in Iraq when injured.
I was shot in the neck by an Iraqi sniper while on combat patrols.
As a quadriplegic, Sergeant Kyle will require specialized medical care and benefits for the rest of his life. That's where Paralyzed Veterans of America can help. National Service Officer Bobby Hager explains.
A national service officer exists solely to help veterans get their benefits. We're able to fill out all of the forms and applications and ask for all of the benefits that that veteran's entitled to.
Matthew's wife, Tracy Kyle.
We don't have the knowledge to go through this by ourselves. And these benefits are going to take you through the rest of your life.
If you don't ask for a benefit, the VA can't give it to you. The veteran doesn't know what to ask for.
We could not have done this journey without the Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Paralyzed Veterans is an independent, not-for-profit organization founded by vets for vets.
To help, visit pva.org.
Have you or a loved one been arrested or charged with a crime? Do you want to stay out of jail and keep your record clean? Hi, I'm attorney Scott Weinberg, host of Crime Time Live, heard Saturday mornings 11 to 12 noon on 1310 WDTW. Call my office anytime to protect your rights at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1 or go to our website at 1-800-NO-JAIL-1.com. We have payment plans for everyone's budget. There should never be a price on protecting your rights. Call 1-800-NO-JAIL and the number one right now.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking about, is your email, even in your own house, protected? Is it? Ken, what do you have to say? Are our emails should be protected on our own computers from our spouses? What do you think?
Well, absolutely. And of course, this law is a poorly written law to begin with. As you know, Michigan is full of laws like this, who I believe are actually written with retaliation in mind somewhere down the line. They can get somebody with it. And in this case, I believe that's exactly what it is. Now, Mr. Weiss, he was pretty diplomatic about not really taking a shot at Jessica Cooper. I saw him on Let It Rip the other night, and Ewell Perkins tried to goad him into making taking a shot at Cooper, and he refrained from it there. I'm not that diplomatic or professional about it. I think Cooper, I think he should restate this bit by heavy-handed misuse of the law by Jessica Cooper as criminal abuse of power. There is a part in there that the lady that who was married to the guy Leon Walker, she used to work for Oakland County too. Mm. She also worked at the county clerk's office herself, I believe. Well, that tells me that somewhere in there's a connection to Jessica Cooper.
Well, I don't know that's true, but let's assume that's true.
Let me speculate a little bit here.
Yeah,
I think that down the line this could come up, that somehow she has a connection to Cooper. And believe me, I know a little bit more about Jessica Cooper than most people because Jessica Cooper, as a judge, violated my civil rights.
Well, I know a lot about Jessica.
Whistleblowing as stalking. So she has a strange interpretation of the law to begin with.
Well, let me tell you, Ken, hold on 1 second. So here's the story. Listen, every prosecutor, whether it's Jessica Cooper, whether it's whatever prosecutor in this state, they have their own policies. The problem with the executive branch, and that's what the prosecutor's office prosecutes from, is the powers of the executive branch, whether it's the U.S. attorney, whether it's a state attorney, whether it's a local city attorney. It is the executive powers that they can choose or not to choose to sign warrants for anything they want, as long as they feel in good conscience that they are doing justice. The problem is, there's no real type of control on it. You got it. Someone gets charged. I've represented for years. Someone gets charged with a crime based on simply someone's word, no other evidence, just someone's word, and a prosecutor's office can charge. I mean, it's like a domestic violence case. You could have her push, her saying she was pushed by her husband, no proof, nothing else other than her word, and a prosecutor's office takes that and goes forward. Sometimes it's true, sometimes it isn't. And that's what prosecutors do every single day. They make choices about who they should prosecute and who not to. I don't know whether or not there's any connection with the prosecutor's office and this complainant in this matter. There totally could be. It might not be any connection at all. Ken brings up a good point. Should they look into any kind of connections that a prosecutor's office is submitting, is creating some kind of favoritism towards a complainant? See, that's not usually what happens. I have no idea if that's happening here. I'm going to assume that it is not happening, but I don't know that it's not happening. But what I do know is that prosecutors' offices every single day make choices on which crimes to prosecute and which crimes not to. And let me tell you something. It is discretionary with every prosecutor's office. There's nothing mandatory that says they have to bring a domestic violence charge. They have to bring a charge under a statute. They have to bring, they don't even have to bring a drunk driving charge. I'm not saying they don't. I'm saying they don't have to. It is discretionary within our executive branch powers that the powers underneath those give those executives power to charge us with crimes. Listen, there are states, and we don't enforce that here, but there are states that don't have the authorization powers that we do. They go by grand juries. You got to present it in front of a grand jury and let those people decide, should there be an authorization? Should there be an indictment? Now, we don't do that here, at least not often. We can, but we don't often do that. But in federal cases, they sure as heck can. I mean, is that what we have to go to? Do we have to go to grand juries where the prosecutor has to present in front of a bunch of citizens on a monthly basis, let's say, every single crime because we want to make sure that it is at least the same type of prosecution, that it's the same type of authority that's spread out over a county? But even if you do that, there's not going to be a grand jury in Oakland County that's going to be the same grand jury in Detroit and Wayne County or in Washtenaw County or in Cook County in Chicago. I mean, people are different. Hey, they always say that you can indict a ham sandwich. You know what that means? That means basically the grand juries pretty much file whatever the prosecutor wants. But at least there's some check on the prosecutor's power. And that's what we got to be able to get to. You got to understand the prosecutor has a significant amount of power that they wield in many, many different ways. They wield it by prosecuting, and they wield it by not prosecuting. I mean, how many times have we heard? How many times have we read? How many times have we seen in the media that there is a, let's say, police officer who gets stopped for drunk driving? And they don't go forward with it, or a public official, that they don't get prosecuted for it, or a domestic violence case that the police came out, but they let it go because there's some type of influence going on behind the scenes. I mean, how many times do we have to read about that? I mean, I know you can point to powerful people that went down, that got prosecuted and went to prison. You can talk about Kwame. You can say, well, how come he didn't have the influence not to get prosecuted? See, that shows that even politicians and powerful people can be prosecuted. You can point to the Governor Ryan in Illinois, where in the paper he was just recently released to go see his dying wife. And they would say that they prosecuted him and got him convicted. You can point to so many people around the country, let alone in this state, that are being prosecuted, even though they're powerful. But what do you think that compares to people who are powerful and famous that don't get prosecuted? You call me at 248-848-1310. Is that overridden? Is that the type of case that because people are prosecuted when they're powerful, it means that the people that are not prosecuted, it's okay if they're powerful? Who is prosecuted more? Who is prosecuted more? The people with no power or the people with lots of power? Because I'm telling you, there is no check on that system. The prosecutor's office, the attorney general's office, the U.S. attorney's office has that kind of discretion on who to prosecute and who not to. And who do they answer to? I mean, who do they really answer to? They don't answer to anybody who's looking at them every day. They don't have to submit reports on who they prosecuted and someone said, no, you should have prosecuted them. Except maybe you and I. Except the public. See, they all have to answer to us eventually. I mean, that is the representative public, right? We don't like the prosecutor and what she's doing or he's doing. You know what? The next election, vote him out. That's the power of the voting booth. That is our one vote, baby. Vote him out. Because if you don't like what someone's doing, that is about all you're going to be able to do. I mean, you can protest. You can go to the papers. You can complain to the attorney general about a lower prosecutor. You can complain to the governor about the attorney general. You can complain all you want. And you can speak your mind. But in the end, you know where the only power you've got, and it is the best power of all, is in the ballot booth. You don't like what someone's doing? Don't vote for them. You don't like what a legislator's doing? Don't vote for them. Because in the end, once you vote and once they're in, 99% of the time, my friend, they are going to stay in and they're going to do what they want. Well, they might think that it's what the people want. But in the end, we all know it's what they want and what their interpretation is of what we want. So you want to be able to get prosecutors and get governors, and you want to be able to get people and attorney generals that have executive power to prosecute criminally, then you better keep them accountable in that ballot booth. You better make sure that they have your vote or don't have your vote, because in the end, that's how we keep them up to date with what the society wants. I don't know how another hour went so quick. That was great. I love talking about your rights. I love trying to protect your rights. You can call me during the week at 1-800-7100-LAW. That's 1-800-7100-529. We'll talk about your rights during the week. You want to talk on the weekend? You want to talk on the radio? You want to get every people to understand what you're doing? You call me on the radio. But every day you think about how to protect your rights. You think about what is going on with the government and how they're trying to impose themselves on your rights. And you listen to Crime Time Live every week. We'll see you next week.